Do grab a seat if you've not done so already. Great to see you, folks. As I said earlier on, thank you, Owen and Ban, for leading us thus far. Actually, Jeff, it was better the other way around, actually, if you're facing that way. I'm only joking. If you've got a Bible with you tonight, you may want to turn in it to Isaiah chapter 59. All right, we're just going to read a few verses. For those of you that aren't familiar with what we've been doing in the evenings, for quite some time we've been exploring what the Bible has to teach us about the work and ministry of the Spirit of God. Actually, what we're doing is we're working our way through the Scriptures to see what they say to us about the work of the Spirit. And then, as I'll share in a little bit, we're not just concerned with information, telling our heads what his work is, but we're also concerned with the formation of our souls and hearts and minds as we pray for one another and experience more of what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. So that's the kind of dynamic we're working to. We've arrived at the 59th chapter of Isaiah tonight. And I'll read the whole of the kind of paragraph, but I'm focusing on the very last verse as a kind of text. And it goes such as this. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My Spirit, who is on you, will not depart from you. And my words that I put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children and on the lips of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? And invite the Spirit of the Lord to speak through the Word of God. And so, Father, we thank you for the Word of God itself, that contains everything necessary for our teaching and training, rebuking and correcting in righteousness. And we know, Father, that these are not just historic stories or interesting pieces of literature, but that you have breathed life through these wonderful stories and words. And so we invite you now just to do the same once again, that as we look into your Word, you might breathe life on us. And that we might know something more of your presence with your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is here. If you're an Anglican, you would say his Spirit is with us. And I wrote in my notes, this is a checkout for the closet Anglicans, and not a single person replied, we are free. That's a joke, by the way, in case you're new to the church and think I'm an Anglican hater, which I'm not. There's this response in the Church of England, and maybe in the Catholic tradition too, I don't know, where you'd say, the Lord is here, and the reply is, his Spirit is with us. We'll try that again, all right? The Lord is here. Wonderful. And that opening introduction and response, the opening word, bidding and response, frames a lot of the kind of liturgy in common worship, which is the current book of prayer, so to speak, for the Church of England. And to be honest, when I was younger, years ago, I was suspicious of anything written on paper, as though that the Holy Spirit could not possibly work through such a thing because it had been committed onto a piece of paper or in a prayer book. And I kind of cringe with embarrassment that I used to think such a thing. But, of course, so many of the ancient liturgies of the church are reminding us of deep and wonderful truth. And it's just that sometimes they're presented or delivered to us in not the most exciting of ways. A bit rigid, perhaps, or a bit turgid in their, the way that we go through them. And so we're tempted to leave them behind. And when we do so, we miss the richness of them. Think about that phrase we just used. The Lord is here. We're gradually getting there. Okay, think about that statement. It affirms the truth of this passage, this text we want to look at tonight. The truth that we really want to hold on to and not overlook or take for granted. The Lord is here. We're gradually getting there. We're now about three quarters of the room have worked out what is going to happen over the next few minutes. All right. So the Lord speaking through the book of Isaiah, verse 21, the end of this passage. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you. My spirit that is on you will not depart from you. So right at the very beginning of that verse, we have the guarantee of the presence and the power of God by his spirit with us always. We cannot flee from the presence of God at any stage of our being. As the psalmist says, if I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths, you are there also. God is always there, ever present, always real and in our midst by the power of his spirit. And the reason I just raise this for your awareness and reflection tonight is that we can often be quite clumsy when we talk about this. Now, on one level, God is far more concerned with what our heart is about than he is about the pedanticness of our language. All right. Nigel Dyer likes it when a preacher uses a new word and invents a new word. So if he's listening to the podcast, he's just got one there. All right. For instance, we talk about meeting in church on Sunday and we speak about coming into the presence of the Lord. Well, that's fine. But actually, I thought the scriptures told us that God is with us always to the end of the age. I thought the scriptures told us that God doesn't leave us or forsake us. As though kind of just outside the boundary of the land of the church, there's no presence of God. But on a Sunday at 10:30 in this building, suddenly it's everywhere. Similarly, in the prayer meetings, you know, Lord, would you be with Mrs. Smith? And of course, in a world where civilians are getting gassed and bombed all over the place, I'm sure God is not that bothered with the exact detail of our prayer terminology. But it's an unnecessary prayer. God is always there. He's always there. We need not ask for it. It's like asking God to always be God. Would you please always be good? He is, whether we pray for it or not. Sometimes it's just semantics. Sometimes our language betrays our real thinking. Think of the engaged couple who want to get married, quote, in the sight of God at the local church, as if a building such as this is the only window God has on all of humanity. See, the Lord has promised to be with his people forever. The presence of God is mediated to us by the Holy Spirit. So just remember, you cannot be in a place where God is not with you. Now, granted, his presence may well be more tangible, more feel, more real in other places, in certain places than it does in others. You know, if I'm in a gathering of people for worship or if I'm by the sea, I find it easier to notice the presence of God there than I do when I'm sat in a traffic jam on the, you know, in the Kingsway retail park, to be perfectly honest. But actually, the Spirit of God is alongside you. The presence of God is at much with you at work, at Sainsbury's, definitely not Tesco's, but at Sainsbury's, in the queue, in the commute, as you parent or grandparent. He's as much with you, present in you, around you, wanting to work through you there as he is here. And now that's got consequences then for us if that's true. Number one, it's reassuring. God is with us forever. We're not alone. Secondly, it's empowering. The Spirit is at hand to so that we can call on his power wherever we are. You know, one of my heart really for when we established Encounter in this kind of forum was that we would see the people of God empowered to take what they learn and experience here into everyday life. The jury's out as to whether that's been successful or not, but that's the kind of heart, really, that it isn't about kind of these holy huddles, and then we kind of disappear off into the world, then come back for a quick holy huddle, recharge batteries, disappear out again, come back panting on a Sunday, recharge the batteries, disappear out again. It's about cultivating the attitudes and mindset and spirituality within us that realizes that the presence and power of the Holy Spirit is in us, with us forever, wherever it is that God will place us. So, as I said, when you're in Sainsbury's, when you're at work, when you're grandparenting, when you're gardening, when you're at Probus, when you do all these things, you have as much of the power of the Spirit there in those things than you do doing the so-called holy things like worship, prayer meetings, Bible study. Do you understand that? It's important to get a grip on this. Thirdly, it's convicting. God is alongside us in our less than glorious moments. God is with us in our sinfulness, in our hidden moments. They're not hidden to God. Whenever the Lord is present, his Spirit is with us. So, the Lord is here. We're going down on the uptake now, okay? The Lord is here. Yeah, it's true. It's true. The Lord is here and his Spirit is with us. Secondly, the Spirit endures. He will not go out of fashion. He will not cease to be important. He will last. Now, perhaps more than ever, we are living in times of rapid cultural transition. In fact, so quick it is near impossible to keep up. Things which are vital to do 1 minute are history within a week. If you're in touch with any teenagers, just look at the speed at which trends change. And we see that in the life of the church too, sadly. In nearly 15 years of church leadership and ministry, I've lost count of the number of fads that have come and have gone. Even in our own denomination, initiative after initiative after initiative after initiative, as we seek, perhaps out of panic, for the golden answer that will affect change and transformation. Yet actually what is needed, above all else, is the movement of the power of the Spirit of the living God. I was listening to I said a couple of weeks ago, I listened to a podcast weekly for disciples and church leaders, and just a throwaway comment made by the pastor of this podcast, this Canadian guy, which is irrelevant. He said, eras and cultures change. You know, the way we do things change, but the Holy Spirit does not. The way we do things change, but the Holy Spirit does not. In our own, well, I say our own, say that lightly, but at the Methodist conference last year, every 3 years the triennial statistics are presented. So a bit of background, every October, the first four Sundays in October, every Methodist church counts how many people attend worship, and then we will have to input them on a big database, and then every 3 years they collate the trends, and they tell us how the figures are going, and the attendance is going, and membership and things like that, all right? And basically, it's been a downward spiral since Methodist Union in 1932. It's a slight peak in the late 30s before the war. But there's been a downward trend. And at last, particularly in the last 3 years, to 2014 to 2017, rather than this kind of steady trickle of decline, it's nosedived in Methodist churches. The reality is that, sadly, the Methodist membership is in the higher echelons of the age bracket, and whereas those people we've been maintaining but have just been aging, they're now actually beginning to go to a place that is ageless, if you see what I mean, all right? And we're not backfilling from the other end. And so what does the church do? And I know that I have the propensity to do this, so I'm always speaking to myself first from here before I speak to anybody else. But so what does the church do? It has half an hour's great debate about this, and it comes up with the idea that every church now must make an action plan. And that's great, and probably for some places, that's good. I like action plans. We have an action plan here. I like it. It's important. And some wise old minister who is actually will be one of my predecessors but one in Plymouth stands up and says, action plans are great, but we don't need another action plan. What we need is a move of the hand of God in the life of the church and in the nation. And the conference laughed at him. So another sense of interpreting this sense of the Spirit not departing from us is the truth that he will never go out of fashion. He has no sell-by date, and there will never, ever be a time when we are not in need of his ministry as the primary agent in the work and life of the church. We will never, ever, ever be without need of him, and we can never improve on what he brings to us. We already have the best resource for all that we need as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no substitute for seeking the presence and power of God and for all that we need. And be sure there is ample supply. There is ample supply. There was a crisis in my house last night. My sister's been up to stay, well, down to stay with us for the weekend. That's been really nice. And it's the first kind of nice spring day for a long while. And we thought, sit out in the garden, we'd light our chimney, we'd sit by the fire and have this nice, relaxing evening together. And the crisis was this: we ran out of beer. Okay, it wasn't a working day for me, really, so I'm allowed to drink. But we ran out of beer. And I had to resort to drinking the homemade brew of the circuit steward in Burnley, who gave me some 2 weeks ago. And I promised I'd mention him on this podcast, all right? It was a crisis, and you know that you've plumbed the depths if you're drinking homemade beer made by a Methodist in Burnley, all right? That really has got to the depths. Now, I could have gone to the co-op, but I couldn't be bothered, so we drank this instead, because we had run out of supply. With the Spirit of the Lord, who is much more satisfying and much more edifying and much better than even the finest brewed beer, there is always more. There is an endless supply. You can be greedy. You can ask for more and more and more, continually confident that this is an endless supply, a fountain of living water that will never run dry. The Spirit of the living God will never be obsolete. He'll never be improved upon. And his supply will never, ever, ever run out. And then finally, and it's always a danger when I say finally, because that means there's about another 40 minutes still to go. But apparently there's 30 hours of space on the podcast recorder. So as I said to Anne Naylor this morning, well, that gives me plenty of time to fill it this evening, doesn't it? Rest assured, I've got places to be as well. But the last thing is that the Spirit of God brings us the enduring words of God. So says Isaiah, my Spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. In Isaiah's day, as it is now, the Spirit would bring the covenant promises of God to mind so that they were known, and therefore kept, story of God's faithfulness to God's people would be told again and again so that the story was never lost from generation to generation. Fathers and mothers would tell their children, who would then tell their children, and then tell their children, so that the story of God's activity in Israel would always be passed on one generation to another. And says Isaiah, these stories, these words and promises are written on our hearts by whom? The Spirit of the living God. It was the role of the Spirit in Isaiah's day to sustain the stories of God and the deep truths of the scripture that they were written on. And no wonder, because how do we get the written works of God recorded for us? Well, we have the scriptures. How do we have the records of God's words and actions today? By the work and ministry of the Spirit through the scriptures. How were the scriptures written? Well, how were they compiled? Well, we believe in the doctrine of inspiration. Men, probably just men, who wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit. That's why we believe that all of scripture is God-breathed. Because the Spirit was infusing the people that were writing the word. How do we get the selection of books that we call the Bible when there are other Gospels and other letters that were contemporary to much of its time? Again, it's by the inspiration, by the leading and guiding of the Spirit at the councils of the churches that affirmed our creeds and affirmed what is authoritative for us, what is inspired and what is not. So I believe then that the scriptures we hold or have received tell us the truth about God because they're inspired and breathed into life by no other than the Spirit of life himself. And that means then that when we come to the Spirit, come to the scripture, we should seek the inspiration of the Spirit. He seals the works and the words of God in our hearts. There is no better interpreter than the Spirit of God, who is the very author of these words. So if you want to understand what God's heart is behind the written word, seek the inspiration of the Spirit. Lord, would you speak to me by your Spirit that your word might live? Would the Spirit of life breathe on these words that they might be words of life to us, to me? And we seek the help of the Spirit too in sealing that which we have heard when the scriptures were expounded. Often, not always, but often, after I have preached, we will hear, often stand or sit and be quiet and ask the Spirit of God just to sift our heart and mind, let anything that is just good story or good humour or human entertainment be forgotten, fall away. And we'll often say, and that which is of you for us, Lord, by your Spirit, seal in our hearts. Let it lodge away in our mind, our soul, spirit. Let it just disturb us, even. So that the Spirit of God, even from the moment we leave onwards, continues to speak to us through the word preached. Secondly, it means that the Spirit of God never, ever acts in ways contrary to the Word of God. You know, he only acts and does things that are consistent with what he has previously had written. Now, some people think we've been a bit unbalanced giving one of our services virtually every week over to the work and ministry of the Spirit. And, you know, quite rightly, to be honest, we could have given them a couple of good R.T. Kendall books, and you could have read those, and you probably would have learned everything that I've tried to expound over the last couple of years, and got probably a better dose of it as well. But the intention is to show the complementary ministry of the Word and the Spirit. You see, the vital information we learn about the Spirit comes from the Word of God and no other place. And this surveying of scripture, which I won't actually complete before I depart to glory, or to Plymouth anyway, is intended to show us from the word all that the Spirit is and does. Now, if we are always word-focused and give no space for the inspiration of the Spirit, then we quickly become dry. If we're all about the Spirit and ignore the Word, because it's a bit dull or a bit restrictive, we have no anchor, we have no rooting, and we'll quickly become unstuck and most likely unstable. If we seek their complementary ministry of Word and Spirit, we begin to open the possibility of moving in the providence and in the power of God. And when we come to the Word, praying that the Spirit will infuse it afresh and bring it to life in our midst, we find him speaking to us in ways we could not expect. So no longer then, the Word of God endures from generation to generation. No wonder we in 2018 sit here having heard the stories of old from our forefathers and foremothers before us, thousands of years after these events. Because the Word of God applied by the Spirit endures from generation to generation, so that not just our own children, but our children's children and our descendants after them may hear again the Word of God, may hear again the stories of the King of power and mercy, and may enter into the great journey and great story that salvation is for all people. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. God is with us by his Spirit all the time. That Spirit endures and has an endless supply and never runs out. He's never afraid of us asking for more and more and more and more. He longs to pour himself out upon us. And it's that same beautiful Spirit of God who wrote and formed what we receive as the Word of God that speaks to us through the Scriptures and indeed gives us life and life in all its fullness. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand together? So I'm going to give two calls for prayer today. And just in case anybody's wondering what we're going to do, I'll explain. All right. Subject to Jesus returning in the middle. First thing I'm going to ask if for anybody that sense of the Lord is here, the Spirit is with us, just feels so unreal. So you might be able to intellectually assent to it, but actually the sense of God being close feels like something in the distant memory. All right? And that's going to be the first call. We'd love to pray for people. And then the second call is those that find it difficult to get into the Word. That doesn't mean you're not trying. Doesn't mean you're not sort of putting in effort. And by saying you want more of God for that, you're not saying you never do a quiet time or anything like that. But it's just about you long for the Bible to live more and more and to be life and food for you. Okay? And those are going to be the two calls for prayer today. All right? Secondly, if you're somebody who just longs for God to speak more powerfully through his Word for you, then I don't know what that might look like. It'll be different for different personality types. But if you feel that you long for the God to speak more clearly through the Word, his written Word, again, if you just raise your hand, we'd love to pray for you. Wow, we've got a number of people up. Blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and around you and amongst you this night and every night. Amen. Have a great week, folks.